have Jesus himself as the example of that kind of surrender. Let us turn to the 12th chapter of John. John 12. And we will begin reading with verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." I want to speak this morning on Jesus' appointed hour. As we read in verse 23, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Verse 7, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." There was an appointed time, an appointed hour that God had ordained for Jesus to keep. And that hour, as Jesus tells us, is now. I want to see four major things concerning this hour. The first is in verse 24, where we find that the hour is defined. The second one is in verse 27, where we find that the hour is prepared, especially for Jesus as a man. The third one is the purpose of this hour. That you'll find in verse 31. And then we find in verse 35, want to know the instrument of that hour that God used. And so we go to verse 24. Jesus defines the hour to which he has come. And as we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." And so the definition of this hour is that Jesus has come to die. He has come to give his life a ransom for many. And then we come down to the next one, where Jesus says, that's verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" This hour that we are talking about, specifically prepared for Jesus as a man. As a matter of fact, Jesus, according to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, where I would like to turn now, according to this verse, there are three major appointments that were given to Jesus as a man. And he kept them all, of course. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And in verse 27 we read, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." By virtue of the fact that Jesus became a man, he has now come under the jurisdiction, so to speak, of men. He must abide under all of the rules, the restrictions, the requirements, the limitations, all of these things that are common unto man must also apply unto Jesus himself. And we read this concerning death. Jesus came to die there at the cross of Calvary. And so as we see in that verse there, as Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled." And that's absolutely the truth. He was troubled as a man. If you go into the book of Luke and see the detailed expression, the detailed account that Luke gave of him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find the tremendous pressure that Jesus was under. "My soul is troubled," even right down as it were to the very core, he was troubled. And he knew exactly what was going to happen the following day as he was placed upon the cross and as he was made sins for humanity. And so here in our text, here in this ninth chapter of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die. It means that Jesus, because he became a man, also had to die. We know that he was not sinful himself, but the scripture said of man, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We read in another place that death is passed upon all men because that all have sinned. We know that Jesus, of course, had no sin whatsoever. But the scripture is very plain in this matter that God prepared him a body specifically for the purpose of dying. And so as we read, "As it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered." In compliance with the fact that men have to die, Jesus also must of necessity die. And he has come to that hour at this present time. We find that there is another appointment here. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And Jesus, we'll see this here presently as we go back to the book of John, Jesus had come to the time for the judgment. The judgment here is that God must pour out his wrath and fury on all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and sin. God had to judge all of that for the sake of his government. He could not allow even one sin to go by unpunished. And so the truth of the matter is simply this: God judged all sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God poured out his wrath and fury upon him there. And then the third appointment that we see is in verse 27. It is, or verse 28. "Unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." This tells us without sin. It tells us of the resurrection. The only way that Jesus could appear without sin is in resurrection. And we indeed are looking for him. Let us go back to the eighth chapter of John. And I want to see how that we find every one of these appointments in the ninth chapter of this book. We have already seen the first one. The 12th chapter. We have already seen Jesus kept his appointment with death, as we read there in verse 24. Then as we go back down to verse 27, we see once again, "Now is my soul troubled." That is, he was troubled of this as a man, and he could not pray, "Father, save me from this hour," because this is the very purpose for which God had given him such a body, in order to come to this hour. Then we come to the third part of this hour, And that is the purpose. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. And I would point out again that now is the very key word at this point, because it means at the time then present. Now is the judgment of this world. Once again, it was Jesus who bore the judgment of God in his own body there on the cross, there on the tree at that time. All of the sins of the whole world were laid upon Jesus at the time. And it happened at Calvary. I emphasize that point because there are those, I fear, who do not understand what actually happened in God's reckoning at the cross. We read there in Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And there are many Christians, sad to say, that are almost trembling in their boots as I have talked to some of them down through the years. And they are thinking in terms, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after you go through that door of death, then you are facing another judgment. And Scripture puts our hearts at ease in that matter if we only listen to what God says. Because you see, we have already met these first two appointments the day we believe on Jesus and accept Him as our Savior. The death that He died was my death. Let's keep in mind it is appointed unto man once to die. There are some precious people in our world today who do not understand the teaching of eternal life. There are those who speak of it as an ungodly, damnable doctrine. But listen to the Scripture. How many times can we die? Only once. There are those who assume you can be born again, and then you die, and you have to be born again and again and again because of sin in your life. It's appointed unto man once to die. The Scripture tells us that. The day we died with Jesus, we met that one and only requirement just like Jesus did. Never does He have to come into this world and die again. He died unto sin once, and then the judgment. We also met our appointment with judgment, because Jesus says here in our text that now is the judgment of this world. At the time then present, God judged all sin and unrighteousness. God's government is satisfied. You may have heard the old adage, now you'll go to hell for lying, you'll go to hell for stealing, you'll go to hell for this, that, or something else. Did you know none of those are true? There is only one reason men go to hell. It is because they reject the death that Jesus died for them. It is because they refuse to accept Christ as their one and only Savior. He did away with the sin. And then, judgment. We met that appointment also in Christ. But I want to put this in perspective just a little bit. An unbeliever, a person who does not receive Jesus, will meet both of these requirements himself. It is appointed unto man once to die. After a sinner goes through that door of natural death, then he will face judgment on his own. And that judgment is what the scripture calls the second death, which is hell. Any man who does not receive what Jesus did is going to meet those two appointments for himself. And so we read that now is the judgment of this world. But that's not the only judgment that we see here. In verse 31, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. This also is a beautiful result. This is why God sent Jesus to this hour, is to cast out the prince of this world. The prince of this world is none other than Satan himself. He is called the prince and the power of the air. And we read here, now at this present hour, the devil, the prince of this world, is cast out. Once again, we must put it into perspective. You and I know full well that Satan is still running around all well and healthy, so to speak, in this world. He continued his escapades after Jesus was even raised from the grave. But here is where we must understand that we have to look at things from God's point of view and God's decree. And as far as God is concerned, and as far as you and I must be concerned, Satan was a defeated foe from the day of the cross of Calvary. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Just by way of fact, scriptural fact, let us understand Satan will not be completely and literally cast out of this world until after the millennium is over. He will be bound 1,000 years during that reign of Christ. Then he will be let go a little season. And after that, the full import, the full impact, the full victory that Jesus won at the cross will come to pass. For Satan will then be cast into the lake of fire. But what about us for now? What must this mean to us? Now is the prince of this world cast out. It means that the victory of the cross belongs to me from that day forward. Jesus said it this way, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's because of the victory Jesus already won at the cross of Calvary. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Paul tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we stand in victory directly because he is already a defeated foe. Believe it was James that said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is the victory that you and I can enjoy in our own present day lives. Why? Because at that hour, Satan was cast out. He is already that defeated foe. And so you and I must understand, because of Calvary, Satan can go no further than God allows him to go. He is still nothing but a puppet in the hand of God. There's another wonderful thing that happened here, and that is that Jesus completely crushed the headship of Satan. When God created man, God created Adam, He gave him power and authority and dominion over the entire creation. When Adam fell, that dominion went to Satan. Thus he's called the God of this world, the Prince of this world. When Jesus did His work there on the cross of Calvary, then we find out He crushed the headship of Satan, and now Jesus is the head. It has not come to actual practicality at this time. Does anyone really think that if Jesus were operating as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and absolute head of this world, that the world would be in the condition that it is right now? No way. I am saying that He won the victory there at the cross. He said so. And it is yet to be fully implemented. Again, the good news for us is He is implementing that victory in our lives even as we speak. And there is no way that any Christian needs to be under the dominion and the bondage of Satan, for God will cast him out of our lives completely. And so we find that judgment was poured out upon Satan himself. And then we come to the fourth part of our outline, the instrument that God used. Verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And if we stop right there, as many times people do, we would conclude and assume that that meant Jesus being lifted up into heaven. But that's not the case. Verse 33, "This he said, signifying what death he should die." When he said, if he be lifted up, he was talking about being lifted up on the cross. If you read these next few verses, you'll find that the Jews understood these things. And they questioned Jesus about it, as they questioned about everything else that he said. Jesus was talking about being lifted up on the cross, lifted up as a sin offering unto God, as the scripture said, "Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree." Jesus bore that curse. He bore that judgment for all men, for all time, as we have already seen. But I want to notice that the third appointment is couched in this verse. "And I," in verse 32, "if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." This implies, and loudly shouts really, the resurrection, because Jesus could draw no one unto him if he remained in the grave. It was the resurrection that proved that Jesus was who he said he was. Did you know the Jews understood that? That's why they wanted Pilate to put a guard around the sepulcher so his disciples won't come along and say, "Yeah, he's risen from the grave." They knew what the resurrection meant. If Jesus was raised from the grave, it proves beyond doubt he is the Son of God. And that's exactly what God did. And so now then, because of his death, because of being lifted up, in other words, this cross is the vehicle, the instrument that took Jesus down into death. However, it was that very death that gave rise to the greatest victory this world has ever known. It was because of the resurrection that Jesus crushed the head of Satan. Why? Because he took Satan's greatest weapon and literally beat him over the head with it, saying, "It has no more power over men." And that is true of us. Death can no longer touch us because of the victory that Jesus won that day when God raised him from the grave. And so now, I will draw all men unto me. Remember that Paul told us there in Hebrews, the 12th, the 9th chapter. He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's our salvation. That's our deliverance. We point out again, it is without sin. Jesus did away with sin at his first advent, at that hour when he went to the cross. And this time, he will appear without sin the second time unto salvation. All of these glorious victories that we have discussed this morning are possible because Jesus came to that hour of which we read here in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And indeed he did, as Jesus was shown forth to be the Son of God. And all of these marvelous victories that are outlined, we've seen outlined this morning, are mine because of what Jesus and Jesus only has done. This is why we have these memorial services every month, our communion services, because we are to remember who brought them about. And today we will remember this Christ, indeed, who came to this hour and accomplished all of the glorious victories that we see here. We remember him, not anything that we may have accomplished or may have come short of. That's not the point. The point, remember Jesus, who came and bowed to the hour that God had prepared for him.